Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Ann.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage or are in the process of adoption or have adopted. And we love to connect with our listeners. We have seen God work in so many amazing ways. And we'd love to connect with you. So if you'd like, you can email us at hannahsheart@afa.net. That's Hannah like spelled in the Bible, no apostrophe, hannahsheart@afa.net. We'd love to connect with you.
That's right. And so you brought up adoption in the intro, leading into why our guests are here today. If you're watching, you can see.
If you're watching, you're not going to look at us. You're going to be looking at this adorable child sitting in studio.
But we have the most guests, I think, today that we've ever had.
And maybe our first little. Have we?
Our first little. So these are some good friends of mine, and they have been on the show, like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? To share their story of walking through adoption at that point and the process. And y'all were very close to going to adoption at that point. And so now we have talked lots of times about y'all coming back on the show. I think y'all were actually supposed to be on last year, and just with a lot of things that went on, we didn't make that happen. And then, now this year we scheduled y'all like 3 months ago to make sure you could get here. So anyway, thank y'all for being on, Jessica and Spencer, Gray and Evelyn.
And go hear their other, we can put the link in the description. Their other episode was fantastic. Kind of the behind the scenes of what got you to this. We're going to have the continuing story. Right. But
we haven't had a lot of information on overseas adoption.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for sure, they share lots of good information about that.
Yeah. So about that, if I can give like a quick summary, a couple things that are those that didn't see the episode need to know. Spencer over here.
Yeah, so I was
one of how many?
I'm one of 13 kids.
This is noteworthy. This is very noteworthy. And over the time your parents did foster care, they had almost 150 kids in the house.
Yeah, so they did foster care for probably a little over 30 years. And through that time period, they had probably anywhere from 100 to 150 kids throughout their home. And so, and then they birthed four, and then they adopted nine. So
that is, I mean, unheard of.
Really?
Unheard of. And Jessica over here had adoption birthed in your heart early on.
Yes.
And before you guys even met, that was something that the Lord was beginning to prepare you for, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I was a young school teacher and came in contact with a family that had adopted five boys from the Ukraine. And so just with that experience and knowing them, I just knew it was something I wanted to do one day. So.
And just to give our audience another summary, one of the things we talked about was kind of a little bit of the frustrations of the adoption process. And if you can give them just a brief summary of all that you all went through, I think that will be helpful and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah. So we adopted from South Korea, which is we went through Holt International, which is an agency out in Oregon. They do lots of countries, but they really do specialize too in Korea. So we started in January of 21. And then that process can take anywhere from 3 to 5 years, depending on referral or how you get matched. Mm-hmm. We actually saw her on a list in July of 21, and we pursued her, and we were up against five families, and thank the Lord, the committee chose us on November 3rd of 21. We were matched, and then you have to go through this whole long process of, you know, you have to apply for immigration status here in America, and then really you wait on the Korean government. There's just so many steps that you have to take. We really went through a long period from June of 21. 22 to October of hearing nothing. Wow. And really, like, my prayer had been the whole time, like, just let her be here by her birthday, which was in October. And actually, on her birthday, we had celebrated the night before because they're a day ahead. We got the news the day on her birthday that is called EP approval, which means things are really starting to happen. And so we got that on her birthday.
So y'all, you're saying you celebrated, but she was still in Korea.
She was still in Korea, yes.
Yeah,
but then
16 hours ahead.
Yeah. Gotcha. So we'd had a birthday party the night before just with family. And then we got that news that next day. And then we went to Korea the first time, December 1st. We went for the first time. We went for a week. We got to meet her twice. And then we had to make a court appearance and kind of state our case for adoption. And then we literally got home on a Saturday. On Monday that following week, we got our custody date and our next trip. So we really, within about 3 weeks, we traveled back to Korea.
Oh, my word.
So we left January 1st.
Yeah.
And so flew out at
23.
Yeah, together. Flew out at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, out of Atlanta.
And then we got custody January 4th. And then we had to stay in country a few days because we had to go to the American Embassy for visa papers. And then they just recommended that you stay just in case something should happen. Mm-hmm. And then we arrived home in Atlanta on January 9th.
Wow. So. Oh, my word.
So you see these videos of people meeting their children for the first time and like, I'm in the plane. And like, and I get emotional just watching.
Yes.
Like, I've lost it so many times. And I'm like, this is not even my journey.
Yes.
But I want you all to describe for me what it was like after years of processing this. And you had not a failed adoption, but you had had another child that you really thought the Lord was going to bring into your family. And they ended up getting adopted before all your paperwork and everything went through. You can go hear that in their episode. What was it like when you saw Evelyn for the first time?
So we had gotten videos and you know, all of this beforehand. But we get to the agency that day, and you're in like a playroom, and you're grouped with other people. And so we were in a room with another people, and so I kind of like bolted in the door. You have to take your shoes off because it's like kind of protocol. So Spencer had like laced up shoes. Well, I just had some slip on, so I like take my shoes off and I bolt in the door, and I was like, oh, we probably should go in together. And I just couldn't wait. And then her foster mom was right there, and I had seen pictures of her. She had seen pictures of us, and we just embraced. Mm. And then over in the corner.
You're saying even Evelyn.
No, the foster mom and I embraced. And then over in the corner is this just tiny little human.
Oh,
and she was at the little play kitchen chopping plastic fruit. And she did not look at us for about the first 20 minutes.
Oh, my word. She's busy.
She was very busy. And I'm like trying to touch her, you know, like pet her or whatever. And she just was paying
attention. I'm sure you just wanted to squeeze her.
Yes. And then we brought snacks. And that, so Spencer had snacks. And then that's like, that she sat in his lap. That's what brought her in.
Yeah,
so.
she felt like it was just another visit. And so, she would go on a weekly basis to this, to their agency. And so for her, it was just another visit. But for us, it was much more.
You knew that was your baby.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And then she finally, like, slowly kind of warmed up. Mm-hmm. And then, like, by then, we had an hour and a half with her and the foster mom. And we exchanged gifts with the foster mom. And we had a translator there, of course. And she just was this precious, precious woman. We had a really sweet connection. So Evelyn had a foster brother that lived in her home. That mom and I have actually connected before we left, and they live in Chattanooga. Which is really amazing.
Okay.
So they'd already met the family. They had met Evelyn. And so she said, hey, like, they are Christians. They go to a Christian church. Like, and so that just automatically made us feel good. And we had this really sweet moment where I looked at the translator and I said, I need you to tell her that I love Jesus.
Mm.
So she translated that to her. Foster mom and I look at each other and, like, you don't need, you know, no language barriers.
Uh-huh.
We both knew that we loved the same.
Wow. Mm.
So it was just a really sweet
moment.
But by the end of the visit, like, she was running around laughing. We're chasing her. Spencer got to hold her kind of a few more times than I did because he had the snacks, which is really brilliant on his part.
Smart move.
There's a tip for anyone.
Yes. Bring the snacks. So I don't know.
She clearly likes to come to you now.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah,
that first visit was really sweet. Mm-hmm. It was really special. And then we got to go see her again 2 days later. And that was a little harder visit.
Yeah, she kind of knew something was up at that point. Wow. And so she was like, okay, these same people are back. And so I think she kind of got the, you know,
Something's going on. Because foster mom was really good to, like, put her in our lap or, like, lead, like, kind of direct her towards us. Mm-hmm. She is very intelligent and very perceptive of feelings and emotions. And so that second visit was just a little harder because she was a little more resistant to us.
Yeah.
But you understand it.
Yeah.
She's a lot more attached to the foster mom.
Yes.
You know, less reluctant to come to us and, you know, just kind of wanted to be close to her a lot. So.
And of course you understand that,
but it's also,
I'm sure, striking at some of your maybe fears of how is this connection and this bond going to happen. Tell me about that. Like, what's that like?
So, you know, the first trip we got to see her for, you know, two times. Again, you know, to us, she was more like a superstar because we had seen videos, we'd seen pictures. Mm-hmm. Like, she really didn't really know who we were. Mm-hmm. And so, because they had shown her, we'd sent over for her birthday and stuff, we'd sent over some photo albums and things. But, you know, she's a little over two at the time.
Right.
She doesn't, you know, it's hard for her to kind of understand that. And so, but we see her two times. We come back to the U.S. and then they send us an email and say, hey, you need to be back in 3 weeks. So we go back in 3 weeks and
which you just have to drop your work schedule, everything, and just like, okay, bye.
Yes, and both of our employers are very you know, understanding of that and very supportive of it. And so so we go back in 3 weeks and it was a little difficult. And so our custody date was January 4th and it's a very hard and traumatic experience, to be honest. And so she honestly we got custody and essentially you show up to the agency and you bring gifts, you exchange gifts with the foster parents.
And the whole foster family was there.
Yes.
Grandma.
Wow.
Sibling.
And you arrange a driver and everything. And then essentially you go downstairs and they go, all right, you know, pick her up and get in the van and drive off. And so it's very,
wow.
I mean, again, it's been 3 weeks since we've seen this little girl, and we've only gotten to spend a total of 3 hours with her.
Wow.
And so it's very, you know, for her, it's very traumatic. And so she's kicking and screaming and, you know, is scared to death and has no idea what's going on. And luckily for us, we got to be friends with our driver. So he actually used to work for the agency.
Oh, wow.
And so he drove us, you know, he picked us up at the airport the first time. We got to be friends with him. He picked us up from the airport the second time, picked us up, and then drove us back to the airport. And so, but we were able to arrange him to come be our driver back to the hotel. And so he was very kind to her and, you know, they want you to arrange a driver because they say that taxi drivers can kind of get a little frustrated with it because you have a screaming kid in the back. And so, but he was very understanding and very kind to her and, you know, try to calm her down. And
because she still wasn't understanding.
Oh,
she's two at this point?
Yes. She's a little over two. So she had turned two in October.
Okay.
And then we get her back to the hotel and we go in and we have some, you know, a tablet for her and some games and some food and she kind of calms down and then she plays for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then she goes, all right, and then she grabs my wife's hand and walks to the door because she thinks she's just there to play.
Yeah.
And then Jess says, no, you know, no, we're here to stay, and then she loses it, and then she cries for like 8 straight hours.
Oh my word, rip your heart out.
Yes, and I mean, it was heartbreaking.
And the foster families are never meant to be a permanent situation.
No. And they have the option. It's, you know, they were, you know, at some point they are given the option to adopt if they choose to.
Okay.
But they had chosen not to, you know, because they just felt like they were called to be foster parents.
Sure.
And so, but she cried for 8 straight hours. And then it was at like 1:30 in the morning. She'd been crying and she stood up in the bed, said something in Korean, and then just laid down and went to sleep.
Yeah, what's the language barrier look like? Had they taught her some English?
She knew mommy and daddy, and that was it.
And for her, like for Koreans, oma and opa are mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
So I don't know that she really knew that mommy and daddy was oma and opa.
Yeah.
And so And so it was very difficult. And, you know,
it's very difficult to have a 2-year-old that you've had from the beginning and formed all of that and to rationalize with any toddler, let alone one that you don't know.
And to be in a foreign country.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, we were essentially, you know, in a foreign country with a 2-year-old that, and it was difficult.
And then getting ready to get on a plane.
Yes.
And we had scheduled, you know, they tell, you know, the adoption agency says, hey, you know, schedule your flight at least 48 hours after your visa visit to make sure it clears. Well, ours cleared in 30 minutes.
Okay, wow.
And so we're still in the – we're like, all right, so we go to that on Thursday, and we're like, well, we don't fly out till Monday night.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so we're like, what are we going to do? And so we'd made friends. There were some other people over there that were going through the same agency, and they were from right outside of D.C., and they were staying in the same hotel, and we got to be really good friends, and they were Korean-American, so they could speak the language. And so we tried to stay with them as much as possible, and they could help translate, and so that was definitely a blessing. And he's a pastor and just outside of Washington, and so there were several times where he, like, prayed over us and, you know, just for peace and, you know, because it was not difficult. And, you know, now she, you know, she loves me, but then it was just for their culture, women did almost everything. The father is more of a
financial support
and more of a playmate.
Okay.
And for more of a playmate for them. And so, like, we would go to the mall. Our hotel attached onto a mall. We would go over to a mall and just walk around. She wouldn't let me carry her. She wouldn't let me hold her. I mean, Jess had to do everything, and so it was just kind of like, hey, it's, you know, it was very difficult not to be able to, you kind of almost feel helpless because she doesn't want you to hold her. She doesn't want you to, you know, do anything
for her.
I'm
sure that's scary too. You're like, absolutely. Well, I want that relationship with you, you know.
Going into it, in part of our training, they had very much forewarned us that, and this happens a lot in international adoption, especially when children are older, that they will reject one parent and they will attach to one, like fully attached to one. And I can remember our social worker saying, it's really hard to be the one that's rejected, but it's just as hard to be the one that is not rejected because everything is on you. And then you feel bad for your partner.
Yeah.
And Spencer is very hands-on, like we're very equal in the way that we do things. And then I do want to say back to our friends, Helen and Eli, that's their name. We'll give them a shout out. They were a saving grace.
That's a God thing.
Oh my gosh. There was another couple also that we got to be really good friends with. Like we all did a parent dinner, but Helen and Eli they struggled in other ways too. And I mean, like Helen and I sat in the hotel one day and like just cried, but they spoke the language. And then like when it would come mealtime, I would be like, I don't know what to feed her. And so Helen would be like, I'm going to get this for the girls because they knew the language. They knew what kind of foods. And then they were just so good to speak into us. They had 3 boys already, and we were struggling so hard. And because you really do go through, because she was struggling so bad of like, what have we done? Like, what have we done to this child? We had been married almost 11 years at that point. It had been just the 2 of us. And so even in our heads, we're like, what have we done?
And things were fine.
Yes, yes. Like, how could we have done this? And they were so good to speak in us and say, hey, we're really struggling and we have 3 kids. This is your first. Like, this is really, really hard. Like, and just to let us know it was okay that we were struggling.
Yeah.
And I will say we had some sweet moments. We loved Korea. Like, our first trip was amazing.
Absolutely. We're going to go back. Yes. We plan on taking her back when she's probably around 10.
Yeah.
And so just so she can understand it a little bit more. But Korea is phenomenal. Like, it's a very, very large city. It's got 26 million people. And so you think of the scale of that, New York City, it's got 5 million more people than New York City. And so it is.
That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. But you never feel like, you know, you never feel like you're in a, you know, dangerous part. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are some, but I mean, I feel like the people there are, you know, nice, and you know they're, you know, worried about where they're trying to get to go. Mm-hmm. That, you know, where they're headed. That they're not worried about, you know, trying to steal or, you know, they just, you know, it's just one of those things of.
Can you remember some of the first moments in the, I don't know, weeks, months, first year of her coming home? Any of the first moments of real connection that you went, oh my gosh, that happened?
One of the sweetest moments I had in the hotel, and I later on figured out this is what she was doing, she was eating a cup of ramen noodles. It was probably like the day before we left. Mm-hmm. And she looked up at me and did a thumbs up with a big smile. Oh. And that was really the first smile that we had gotten. And later
That's
on.
That's how I feel about Raymond.
Yes. And like later on, I was like, that was her way to be able to communicate to me mm-hmm. that she
oh,
liked
that. Oh, wow.
Because it like, because when we.
That's so home, smart of her.
Yes. But when we got home, almost every meal that she would eat, she would be like,
oh,
you know.
So, she's showing a thumbs
yeah,
up
you
to people
picture
who are.
We'll yeah. have to put that in the video.
So that was a really sweet moment. And then I will say, so we get the plane ride. You know, people are always like, "How was the plane ride?" Mm-hmm. Was not fun.
No,
it was. I had
not fun even.
It's
if,
a it's a adults. It's a long flight. So we flew yeah. over going over. It's a 16-hour flight.
Ugh.
So going over, we fly from Atlanta to Minneapolis, and then you have a little layover, and then you fly from Minneapolis to Seoul, oh. and that's a 14-hour flight,
wow.
and because of the, you have to fly. And then on the way back, you fly direct uh-huh. from Seoul all the way to Atlanta, and it's about 12 and a half, 13 hours because of the wind.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the wind. And so wow. going over, there's about
That's
a—
That's not fun as just an adult.
Yeah.
going over, there's about a 500 to 600-mile headwind.
Mm.
And so I learned all this in our hotel. Some of the pilots were staying, and so they were able to tell me. I was like, why can't you fly from Atlanta to yeah. Seoul direct going over? And they were telling me all this. And so and then coming back, all that wind is pushing you, so you're able to not use as much fuel.
Wow.
And so and then, you know, having to, you know, divert from Russia and North Korea and— You go across Japan, and so just the route.
But then you get home, and you're jet lagged.
Yes.
And she doesn't recognize
yes.
anything.
What I always say is our first 3 weeks were hell,
yeah.
and that's just literally what they were.
And you, and, you
I
know,
remember y'all just weren't sleeping.
No,
yeah, like, she was sleeping from she'd sleep from you know 10 to 12, and then from like 4 to 7, mm-hmm. and then be up all night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so because it's a 16-hour difference, and so it's just, you know, getting her adjusted to it, and then, you know, she started to get adjusted a little bit better, and we kind of, you know, stayed at home for some, you know, for a good several weeks, and then, you know, at some point you have to get out and try to, you know, normalize it a little bit. And so.
And I'll say, as far as like attachment, he was so good. Mm. The minute he would get home, he did everything.
Mm.
Fed her, bathed her, played with her. And there were times that she was kicking and screaming. But now we have this joke. He does bedtime each night. And every now and then, if he's out or at a ball game or something, I do bedtime. Huh. The minute he gets home. Okay, Mommy, you can get up now. It's time. Daddy's going to lay with me.
Daddy's turn.
And so I always will say, remember when you thought she would not ever love you? That
how long have you had her?
We, January, made a year.
Okay.
Wow.
So
it's amazing what 1 year can do.
Yes. And honestly, within about 3 weeks, like mm-hmm. everything, once we started sleeping, that changes mm-hmm. everything. Sleep deprivation is real.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then like she figured out food and she just, mm-hmm. and then she began to trust us.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say we have two dogs. We have a German Shepherd and a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to you, that helped her transition easier.
Wow.
That brought her so much joy. She had never been around animals before. And that brought her joy. I think that made her more comfortable in her house. And now, I mean, you would never know that she had never been with us. attachment is very equal, I feel like. Mm. Sometimes she does prefer him.
He keeps going back and forth
yes.
between Mommy and Daddy here in the studio.
She does prefer him sometimes, we'll be honest. But it is like she's just like with our family. And I make the joke, I'm like, I don't know how I didn't birth her because she is so much of both of us. And then the other thing I always say, too, is we had all this training about adoption and trauma and all that was real and it was hard, but nobody told us how to raise a toddler. That is hard.
That is hard. Oh, it's hard when the toddler's been with you since birth.
Yes, exactly. So.
What are, just real quick, just maybe a few things that come to mind that, like, if someone's considering mm-hmm. doing overseas adoption, what would you
tips
for?
Yeah. Time.
Be patient.
Yes, be very patient. Get doctors involved to know about everything medical. Some countries are better in delivering information and not. Be patient. Finances are a big thing, but I will say that was never, every turn we had everything financially we needed. And then just know it is a little harder because it is just that they're going to be a little older, which is going to sometimes be hard. And then, I don't know, just transitioning back, time jet lag is terrible, food is hard, and then the language barrier. But I will say, probably within about 2 weeks, she understood everything we said.
Wow.
It was amazing. And then within maybe about a month, she was speaking.
Wow.
Obstacle, obstacle, obstacle. And yet, there's this beautiful story that God told that you guys pushed
through.
She's
amazing.
Because y'all would do it. I know you would do it 100 times over and over and over again.
Yes.
We're almost out of time, but I wonder if Miss Evelyn would like to say anything. Do you want to say hi? Can you say hi? My name's Evelyn.
Can you say that in the microphone? Do you want to tell them your whole name?
What's your name? I bet she doesn't know.
Are you being shy?
She's giving lots of sweet hugs now.
Can you say my name is Evelyn?
That's okay.
What's
that's
crazy okay. if you see
I mean,
these people.
Do you
people,
want to say go Bulldogs? We say
they're
going
to get her home and she's never going to be fired, right? Well, thank you guys again so much. We're just about out of time, but the continuation of your story. Last time you had just been matched with Evelyn, and now to see how the Lord has walked you through this amazing journey. It's absolutely beautiful, and I hope it inspires some of our listeners that maybe the Lord might call you to do something like this and to boldly bust through all of the obstacles.
Yes. Right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to Hannah's Heart. Don't hesitate to reach out, and we'll see you next time.